First, the far-right conspiracy group known as QAnon has been gaining in popularity in recent months. What began on fringe message boards a few years ago spread to social media, especially during the pandemic, and it's grown a lot. In fact, the Wall Street Journal reports that one particular QAnon Facebook group increased its membership more than tenfold between January 1st and August 1st of this year. And last month, a QAnon supporter in Georgia named Marjorie Taylor Greene won a Republican primary for Congress. That district has traditionally supported Republicans by wide margins in general elections. After her victory, President Trump tweeted that she's, quote, a future Republican star and is strong on everything and never gives up. Deepa Seetharaman is a reporter who covers social media and politics for The Wall Street Journal. She's been following this story. Deepa, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Can you start with the basics, a nutshell description of what QAnon is and what ideas they've been spreading?
So QAnon is a far right wing, very loosely organized kind of network of different types of beliefs, largely unsubstantiated. So at the center of it is this idea that there are a group of sort of pedophiles, Satan worshiping pedophiles that are largely elite Democrats, journalists, entertainment industry folks, and other mainstream institutional figures that kind of control the world and much of the U.S. government. And that Donald Trump, the president, is trying to challenge them and that they're seeking to undermine him. So it's a conspiracy that believes that, you know, the world is being overrun by kind of criminals and sex traffickers and pedophiles, and that there is only one person in the government who can try to push back, and that's the president.
And the idea, this figure of Q, supposedly was somebody inside the Trump administration sharing the details of this campaign, right?
Right. And so the whole concept of QAnon, you know, conspiracy theories have been around for obviously a long time, and some of this has its roots well before the last few years. But this particular movement emerged, experts say it was around October, or, 2017, where somebody who calls himself Q started posting on a kind of fringe social media messaging site called 4chan. And he or she, this person never really identifies themselves, claims to have the highest level of security clearance in the Energy Department for nuclear weapons. That's Q clearance, hence the letter Q. And Anon, because he's anonymous. And he or she will frequently, or they, we don't really understand who the identity of whoever is posting as Q. They, frequently will drop messages that they call Q drops or breadcrumbs that try to highlight something that is happening in the Trump administration, but in a very pro-Trump kind of way. And so there's a lot of experts say, you know, if you remember Pizzagate, which was a kind of conspiracy theory that really gained fame in 2016, it was this idea. There's a Washington, D.C. pizza restaurant called Comet Ping Pong, where a man came with an assault rifle and fired a couple shots because he believed that this was the site of a child's sex ring in the basement of this pizzeria, and that was being run by Hillary Clinton and John Podesta. The pizza parlor doesn't have a basement. There's no proof of any kind of child sex ring at all, but the conspiracy just gained so much traction online, and a lot of people started to believe it. QAnon is sort of in that same tradition of believing that the world, especially Democrats, belong to this cabal of pedophiles, and they must be stopped. And there's just no proof of that on a wide scale.
Talking to Deepa Seetharaman from The Wall Street Journal, looking at the rise and spread of the QAnon conspiracy theory. One more point about QAnon, especially in the early days, there were very specific predictions about mass arrests, or that Robert Mueller was actually working not against, but with President Trump, and would, on a particular day, sometimes be arresting Hillary Clinton and thousands of other people.
Right.
Lots of specific predictions that didn't come true. A lot of people thought that that would be the end of this conspiracy theory. It wasn't. Could you talk about
that? No, it isn't. It, you're right. And I think there were predictions about what Donald Trump would say when he was finally asked about QAnon in a press conference. He was recently asked about QAnon in a press conference, and he didn't say any of the things that were predicted. I mean, what he did say was, you know, I hear they support me, and that's very nice. And, you know, I didn't denounce it. And so, but what has happened, you know, if you watch these groups and the way that they respond to these messages, or when things are off, is to justify them. I mean, after Trump, made his comments about QAnon, a lot of the Facebook and Instagram groups that I follow said, hey guys, you know, if he really didn't believe us, he would have said something completely different. He would have said, you know, QAnon is terrible. Let's celebrate. Let's marinate in this moment. And I think that's something to think about. Like, it almost doesn't matter that these Q drops and breadcrumbs wind up being false, especially around the details. You know, Q gets a lot of things wrong, but the movement has a lot of power, even though it's not rooted in truth, and that continues to sustain it.
Let's give a listen to some of those comments from the president. This was a news conference a few weeks ago when he was asked about QAnon. Here's a listen.
Well, I don't know much about the movement other than I understand they like me very much. Which I appreciate, but I don't know much about the movement. I have heard that it is gaining in popularity, and from what I've heard, these are people that, when they watch the streets of Portland, when they watch what happened in New York City in just the last 6 or 7 months, but this was starting even 4 years ago when I came here, almost 4 years, can you believe it? These are people that don't like seeing what's going on in places like Portland and places like Chicago and New York and other cities and states.
In your reporting, you cite some Republicans who very specifically denounced QAnon and the various conspiracies coming out of it. But then in this case, not so much from the president.
No, I mean, this is the kind of thing that, you know, we saw Representative Adam Kinzinger in Illinois say something. Jeff Flake has said something, you know, that this is a conspiracy, that's conspiracy theory that doesn't have a place in the party. So there are definitely voices within the Republican Party who are vocal about their problems with QAnon and think it doesn't deserve a place in the party or platform. And at the same time, there are a lot of congressional candidates and for the Republican Party that are QAnon supporters. You know, in Georgia, you have a pretty prominent QAnon supporter in Marjorie Taylor Greene. And, you know, in Colorado, you have Lauren Boebert. I mean, these are people who believe in Q or are sympathetic to its messages. And that's also gaining traction within the party, which is pretty interesting.
And a lot of your reporting has focused, Deepa, on the rise on social media. As you mentioned, this started on some of the fringe, ugliest places on the internet, the 4chans and 8chans of the world. Now it's all over the place in mainstream places like Instagram and Facebook groups. Can you talk about that rise?
Right. I mean, it was pretty clear. This movement quickly jumped from sites like 4chan to places like Facebook groups, specifically Facebook groups. And I think a lot of people have used Facebook groups to find, you know, fellow moms or political supporters or whatever. You know, it's where you find community, which is especially important these days during the pandemic when a lot of us are spending our lives online. But the groups have also been incubators for this movement and allowed people to share unsubstantiated theories with one another and feel confident in their beliefs and not really have those beliefs punctured by anybody else with an opposing opinion. In many cases, it's been a really important place for QAnon to grow and gain traction. And it's something that the companies have been aware of for a while now. I mean, they've only recently started to take some action against it, though, for a variety of reasons. One, you know, these companies, especially Facebook, have a bias towards free speech. They want people to communicate. It takes a lot to get them to ban certain types of communication and speech. But also, this speech is really tied up in politics, and they don't want to, they don't want to mess with that at all. And so I think there's the companies haven't done as much as they probably could to tamp down this kind of rhetoric and this movement. And as a result of this flourishing online, you see a lot of this activity moving offline, you know, in the form of protests, Save the Children protests. I think a lot of people have seen those, or otherwise. And that it's been, that dynamic is very important to understand.
We're talking about QAnon, the fringe right-wing conspiracy group, a loosely affiliated group. They're growing acceptance online in parts of the country as well. Deepa Sitharaman is a Wall Street Journal reporter, and we're going to focus in a few moments on their influence here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the rise of QAnon? Have you been paying attention to this story? Have you had arguments on one side or another about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation on QAnon and its influence on and offline. Deepa Sitharaman stays with us from the Wall Street Journal. You can join in with your experiences, thoughts, and questions at 800-642-1234. I want to bring another guest on now to focus on Wisconsin a little bit. Ricardo Torres is a reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He worked on a USA Today story about how the group's conspiracy theories are drawing more and more followers, sometimes in person. Ricardo, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
What did you find when you looked at QAnon events, even in-person events here in the state?
So I attended a QAnon march a couple of weeks ago on the east side of Milwaukee, not knowing exactly what I was going to run into, how many people were going to be there. And there was about 30 people there, and they were walking through the streets of Milwaukee on the east side chanting, "Save our children." When I talked to members of the group, they seemed like true believers that they that anything that Q says or that Q posts or that, you know, other things that they see on Facebook is real. One of the things that they pointed out that I found that was interesting, they used real cases, real sex abuse cases, like what happened at Penn State with Jerry Sandusky, what happened at Michigan State with Larry Nassar, you know, the Catholic Church sex abuse cases. They point to those cases, those real cases, as evidence that this network of pedophiles exists. And they even, one person mentioned a case that happened in Racine. The mayor at the time in 2009, Gary Becker, was arrested and charged with trying to solicit a child for sex. So they saw that case and said that it's evidence that it's here in Wisconsin.
But no indication that any of those actual cases, which actually happened, are part of this international cabal, they say, of satanic, in some cases, blood-drinking pedophiles. They're taking real cases and attaching it to this framework of the conspiracy, it sounds like.
Right. It's sort of a confirmation bias. They see this stuff, these real cases that happen on the news, and they believe that it's real.
What did you hear from them about how they connect with each other and organize on and offline?
So Facebook is definitely the driver of the group. It's the where they heard that this march was taking place. There's a page, a individual by the name of Scotty the Kid, who apparently was very big on pushing these types of theories, these conspiracy theories, and a lot of the people from Milwaukee were followers of him, and it just kind of snowballed from that. And I do want to say that even though it was about 30 people walking through Milwaukee with signs that said "Save our children," there were people driving by that honked. And so I'm not sure if they read the signs and support the movement and honked, or because there have been so many marches this summer for all sorts of different issues, that, you know, maybe they may have mistaken it for another issue that people were marching for. I'm not sure, but I did notice that there was some honking as they walked through the streets.
Ricardo, thanks a lot for sharing your in-person reporting with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking about QAnon. That was Ricardo Torres from the Journal Sentinel. Deepa Sitharaman stays with us from the Wall Street Journal. And let's bring your calls into the story. Laura is with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Laura, hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. What did you want to tell us about, Laura?
Well, my son got into QAnon and all this conspiracy theory stuff at the age of 19. He was at a really vulnerable time in his life. And he had a bad breakup with a girl, and he just started believing all this stuff. And it's 10 years later, and he still is trying to convince me of all this pedophilia and all this type of stuff. And it's just really scary because they seem to prey on young men especially and when they're gullible and vulnerable.
Laura, thanks a lot for the call. So it sounds like that in some ways definitely would predate QAnon, but in some ways it's morphed into other conspiracy theories. Do we have a sense of, Deepa, who is targeted by an organization or a non-organization like QAnon?
Right. I think we have some sense of it. It's definitely younger people. Especially these days, you know, as Ricardo was mentioning around the whole Save the Children hashtag, it's a lot of young women that are also joining this group, this particular conspiracy theory at the moment. And so these are women, either mothers themselves or you know, just particularly interested in children's issues that have found their way to QAnon through the hashtag. Because Save the Children is a legitimate organization. It's a real charity. You know, there are celebrities that promote it on social media and use the hashtag Save the Children. And that is something that the QAnon group has kind of glommed onto and appropriated for their own sort of messaging as well. And that's been very fascinating to watch and an interesting dynamic about QAnon. But it's, you know, the listener's right. I mean, it's a lot of young people and a lot of young men. So it's... And conservatives at the moment and Trump supporters. I think that it's a pretty broad group, but within that you can find some themes.
Thanks for sharing your story, Laura. We'll go now to Jacob in Madison. Jacob, hi.
Hi. We've talked about fake news in the last election. We know that the Russians are going to be interfering with our country's elections again. This just seems to me like something that they could have planted. Maybe they based it on Dan Brown's books years ago, which is maybe what the woman before me was referring to. But nobody's talking about Russian bots or instigators from that direction.
Jacob, thanks a lot for the call. Deepa, do we have any indication that Russian bots or organizations either helped start QAnon or are acting as amplifiers for it?
So this is an excellent question. When I talked to researchers about this a month ago, there was a strong suspicion that the Russians were somehow behind it, but no concrete proof. There are, though, increasingly researchers that believe that there must be some kind of connection, that there are some themes that you see in QAnon that you know, Russian propagandists also like to deploy. So it's, as I understand it, there's a high likelihood of a connection, but at the moment, none of the researchers I've talked to have firm proof.
Thanks for the call, Jacob. We'll go to Mark in Romance now. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. See, there's really nothing new with the QAnon. QAnon, these types of conspiracies go back to the Elders of Zion, the anti-Semitic publications, but in Nazi Germany, they had the same thing, where they were accusing Jews of being pedophiles, kidnapping children, eating the children, seeking, you know, some kind of life-giving elixir out of the bodies of the children. And I think that people really need to pay attention that this QAnon thing, it's not a freaky, funny thing. It's not an oddball thing. And it will gather more and more people, just as it did in Nazi Germany, and it will provide the justification for really bad things in this country. We are in fascism.
Mark, thanks for the call. People have pointed to what Mark pointed to, that idea of the blood libel that had been used against Jews for actually centuries. What do you think about what Mark had to say, the growing influence being a threat, not just kind of a fringy curiosity, but something that could expand into mainstream society?
Yeah, I think I can't emphasize this point enough. I mean, we've been talking about it as if it's a conspiracy theory, and strictly that's true. But I think when people hear the words conspiracy theory, they think, oh, like a kooky tinfoil wearing hat guy who thinks crazy things but isn't necessarily, you know, is largely harmless. This isn't that. This is a real movement. There are millions of people who engage with the content on Facebook and Instagram. There's millions of views of QAnon videos and on YouTube. There are QAnon podcasts, and now there are QAnon candidates running for federal office. I think we have to really underscore the fact that this is a movement that has a lot of power and therefore must be understood. And, you know, people, it's going to start affecting our politics and our lives even more intensely than it does today.
And briefly, one expert you talked to said they preferred the phrase online cult.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've heard that. But even, you know, I think a lot of us are struggling with how precisely to describe it. Online cult is pretty good. I've heard it described as a religion. But we're still figuring out the vocabulary.
Deepa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Deepa Sitharaman is a reporter who covers social media and politics at The Wall Street Journal. We talked to her about how the fringe right-wing conspiracy group, or online cult, or whatever people are calling it, QAnon, is gaining mainstream traction. We also heard from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Ricardo Torres about QAnon's reach here in Wisconsin.